Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day, so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. The confusion that we heard in the children's sermon this morning, in the time with young friends this morning, is a confusion that is not foreign to the church. It's not an unexpected confusion either, because the church has in its mind, in its expectations of what it means to be a Christian, a certain list of things, a certain outward appearance, a certain set of actions and reactions, a certain set of things that we expect. We expect a Christian to look a certain way and sound a certain way and dress a certain way and act a certain way and even smell a certain way. We expect Christians to be good, to be good sons and daughters, to say the right things and dress the right way. We expect that the good son is going to be the one the father's going to be pleased with. We expect that the good son is going to be the one who does the father's will. And yet we see here in the story that Jesus tells an illustration of the truth. That it doesn't have to do with your position in life. It doesn't have to do with your denominational affiliation. It doesn't have to do with whether or not you're a chief priest or an elder of the people. It doesn't have to do with whether or not you dress right and sound right and talk right and smell right. It has to do with what you do and how you respond to God's word. Now, I worked hard week after week after week after week in fostering responses from the congregation, and I was very proud. That's a sin, by the way. I was very proud that my congregation did me proud. And Tom, the pastor, the associate pastor at St. Luke Community United Methodist Church, African American congregation, told me, "You have a congregation that may be white on the outside, but they got a black soul on the inside." Because they responded, and you did. And I was proud, I was proud. I even bragged to a couple of friends. That's a sin too, by the way. I was even bragged to a couple of my friends. They responded with amens. And then here, just the very next Sunday, I say something that should get a whole congregation of amens, and I get one.
Amen.
Well, it's true. 'Tis true. It's not even about who says amen and who does. See, I'm not off. I know what I'm talking about. It's not even about those who say amen and those who don't. It's instead about what you do, how you respond to the gospel message, how you respond to what Jesus says, how you respond.
Amen.
Thank you. It's how you respond. Look at what Jesus said. They came, first of all, let's set the stage again. The chief priests and the elders of the people come and they're going to trap Jesus. They're going to trap him. By what authority are you preaching these things? By what authority can you say the things you're saying, Jesus? Who are you? We're chief priests and elders. Who are you to preach this? And Jesus decides to answer a question by asking a question. You know, that really is annoying, by the way. I mean, I one time, it wasn't all that long ago, Billy, you asked me, "Why don't you answer questions in Bible study instead of asking questions in response?" I got a good master in this. I learned it from the best. His name was Jesus. Now, amen indeed. Jesus asked the chief priests and the elders of the people, did the baptism of John come from heaven or was it of human origin? And they argued. Now, they didn't have an answer. Well, they did, but they didn't like what it would mean. And they argued with one another. If we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? Now, they knew it was from heaven. They knew it was from heaven. But they knew that since they had failed to believe the proclamation of John the Baptist, since they had failed to go out and be baptized for the remission of sins at the hands of John the Baptist, because they had opposed John the Baptist, even though they knew that the message came from God, they knew that they were hypocrites. Amen. And they knew what Jesus' response would be. And they're right. Then, why then did you not believe him? He would have asked them. But if we say, of human origin, we're afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet. They were afraid of Jesus on the one hand, because if they told the truth, Jesus would prove them to be hypocrites. And they were afraid of the crowd of the people on the other, because if they made the people angry, they'd get in trouble. And so they couldn't answer. They could not answer. And they lied. We do not know. And Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. Well, he's not going to come right out and say it, but his next story is going to illustrate the true corruption of these chief priests and these elders. He then tells this story. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. He answered, I will not. But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, bah, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the father? And they say, and you can just see him blurting it out. Well, the first one. And Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the IRS agents, and I like how the King James translated, the harlots are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him. You didn't respond. It's one thing that you rejected John initially, but then you saw the IRS agents and the harlots, the prostitutes, accepting the message of John, getting baptized for the remission of their sins, and their lives are being transformed and being changed, and still you didn't go. You, chief priests and elders, you are the good son who said, I'll go. And then you didn't. We expect better of you. You didn't. You say with your lips, you believe in God. But with your feet and your actions, you show you don't. You might say with your position in the community of the believers, that you are a leader of the people, and yet you are afraid to speak the truth in front of them, to say what you believe, even if it means unmasking your own hypocrisy. You, we expect better from. You should be responding in faith. And instead, you're cowering in fear and trying to trap me, Jesus says. These harlots, these IRS agents, these prostitutes, the scum of the earth, the people who don't dress right and don't do right and don't talk right and they smell bad, the awful scum of the earth, they responded to John the Baptist's message. They responded to the offer of grace. They responded to the call to repentance. They responded. They are truly the ones who do the will of the Father. You are not. And the fact that you can see and know the truth, that the one who responds and acts is the one who does the will of the Father, regardless of the initial answer, the fact that you could see the difference proves that you knew the answer to the question and you know the source of my authority. That's what Jesus is saying. There is no question. Jesus' authority comes from God. Jesus' authority comes from the Father on high. Jesus' authority comes from the source of the Torah, the holy Word of God. He is the Word of God. Amen indeed. At age 2, amen. Amen. My friends, which son are you? You knew that was coming. You knew it was coming before you even got up here.
Amen.
Thank you. Which son are you? I love the responsiveness that Tom drew from the congregation with the simple phrase, a wonderful, beautiful phrase, a phrase that rings in the back of my head and gives me hope for tomorrow. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
I don't believe you. God is good. And all the time.
God is good.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, which son are you? Are you the son that can proclaim that and then act on it? Are you the son who's going to belt out all the time, God is good, and then not act on it? I got a phone call last night. I think they got it off the door. Because, you know, we put the, underneath the Rita evacuation sign we had on the doors, we put a list of two phone numbers, Jim's and mine. Did you get this call? I got a call. It said, unknown number. I don't normally answer those, but for some reason I kind of felt like I needed to. So I answered it. And they said, what are you doing inviting people from outside to stay here? We might get the kind of trash that will shoot and murder and loot and steal. What are you doing inviting outsiders to eat and stay? What are you doing? Who do you think you are? You know what I said? They were quiet, and I thought they'd hung up. I said, God is good. And this person responded, all the time. And I said, if God is good all the time, we are called to be God's hands and God's feet, the hands and feet of Jesus all the time.
Amen.
We are called to be that son who said no, but then did, then acted, then responded. Because you see, we have all heard the call, and at some times in our life, we have all heard that call and we've said no. Not today, God. No, not today. And then God's Holy Spirit has moved us and we've acted in faith. And we've also been that son who said, yes, God, you can count on me. I'll be there. And then when the time comes to be there, we've hidden from the call. We failed to act. We refused the call of God to act. Which are you? We are each both. We are each of us both. We come to the Word of God. We come to the altar of our Savior. We come to the cross. We say, I'm counting on you, God, and you can count on me. And then we fail. Then, sometimes, we're honest. God, I'm a sinner. I'm incapable. I'm worthless. No. And then God moves His Holy Spirit into us and works a miracle and transforms us. And through no merit of our own, we find ourselves acting in faith. My friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, which son are you? Are you the son who says no and then does, responds, does the will of the Father? Or are you the son who says yes and fails to act? God is good. And all the time,
God is good.
I noticed there was a hesitation. Let's try that again. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Give thanks and praise to God.
Amen.
That He is with us. He is good all the time. And no matter when and how we may fail, He continues to be good. And He can take our no and transform it into yes. He can take our no, our rejection, our refusal, our failure to act in faith, and He can transform us and cause us to respond in faith. Give thanks and praise to God that we serve a good God who, regardless of the disaster, regardless of the storms of life, regardless of what we are facing, we serve a good God who can transform and make us live again. We serve a God of resurrection, a God of power, a God of love, a God of strength. Give thanks and praise to God. And when you are asked, will you go? Do what the good son was supposed to have done. Say yes, and then go, and do, and respond in faith, and be the people of God, a people responding in faith. I love the reading from Philippians today, and this is where I'm going to close. From Philippians today, at the very end of the reading, Paul writes, "Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." It is God's good pleasure that we will respond in faith, and that our mouth, our words, our proclamation that God is good will indeed live itself out with the actions of faith that reflect a walk with Christ. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, he writes. The words in Greek here that are used, we translate or could translate into English as with phobias and traumas. Because it's true. If our creed doesn't match our deed, if what we say and profess doesn't match what we do, then we are that good son who failed. Make our deeds match our creed. Work out our salvation with the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord, with fear and trembling, realizing that only Jesus saves. Nothing that we do saves us. But when Jesus does save, and Jesus does, we are called to respond. And that response of faith, empowered by God's grace, should coordinate with our creed, with our proclamation. God is good.
All the time.
and all the time.
God is good.
Give thanks and praise to God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.